Any of you guys recognize these trees up here? Yeah, so we have ourselves a nice big live oak over here. And we also have ourselves a nice longleaf pine tree. How did those longleaf pine trees do 4 months ago today? Not well. Yeah, they kind of, some of them stood up. We still have, I think, three or four in our ditch here. The other 50 or 60 fell, and they weren't robust enough to handle the storm. Although, I'm not sure which oaks are down in the cove, but my understanding is the live oaks, they're a strong, robust tree. They're not impenetrable to anything, but they're able to withstand a lot more wind than our longleaf pines and other such trees. I think a lot has to do with the root system in there and getting their strength. As we saw, a lot of trees, the big oaks, they didn't snap in half, did they? Like our pines, they kind of snapped in half, all about that same point. From the root system, they just fell on their sides. The roots weren't deep enough. The roots weren't penetrating deep enough into the soil to be able to stand firm during those difficult times. And so they just kind of fell over. Not to say that the pine trees didn't, but roots have a lot to do with things. Roots digging down deep enough in that soil, getting the nutrients that they need, the water that they need. So I believe it's the roots that make a robust tree. So I think Mr. Russ knows where I'm going. We're going to Psalm 1 today. We're going to start out with Psalm 1, looking at our root system, looking at the water, and just kind of looking back. Past few weeks we've been looking at, on the 27th, we talked about casting our anxieties, all of our anxieties, on the Lord. Well, why? Because he cares for you. He's big enough to overcome these. He's big enough to deal with these. And last week was the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord, sir, obedience, that spending time with him, getting filled with him, having that joy of the Lord, that's our strength during the difficult times. That's our strength during the good times. Unfortunately, during the good times, we deceive ourselves into thinking everything's okay, I got it. But we know it's the Lord who's God. So it's the joy of the Lord. It's that obedience, walking with him. And today we're going to talk about remaining steadfast in the Lord. Remaining steadfast toward the Lord during our trials, these difficult times. Drawing closer to him. So let me go ahead and pray for our time. Lord, I pray that you would illuminate your word to each of us, that your Holy Spirit would be moving in and amongst us, in our hearts, in our souls here today, drawing us closer to you. Lord, may our roots dig down deep to your water. May we get our strength from you, and may we not lose sight of that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Psalm 1, we'll be unpacking that. Psalm 1 today starts out with, blessed is the man. And it's going to look at two things. There's blessed is the man who does this but doesn't do that. So on the left-hand side of your screen, we're going to have the blessed is the man, that kind of our do not list. Do not do these things. But it's also helpful to know, well, what is the things to do? So blessed is the man. Let's first, before we jump to that, well, what is to be blessed? Some definitions talk about it's a state of happiness and well-being, just such as God enjoys. It's having this oneness with God, this blessed person. I think it connects a lot with joy in that. Having this well-being such as God enjoys. So having this well-being, the blessed man, this is more than just a man. Blessed is the godly person, the person of God who, psalmist starts out, who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So if you want these blessings, here's some things not to do. Walks in the counsel of the wicked. So as we're going about our day, or about our lives, we all go about our day and our lives, whatever we're doing. Some of us are more active than others. But first, walks in the counsel of the wicked. And this wicked doesn't have to necessarily be those incredibly evil that we see as wicked, but just the guilty person, the one who is guilty in the eyes of the Lord, those who is not walking with the Lord. Starts out with this casual influence. walk in the counselor, just kind of, oh, well, I guess that makes sense. That makes sense. I do that. It'll be okay. You seem to not be having any troubles over here. You're doing okay. You're financially prospering. You seem happy in what you're doing. So as you and I move through life, saying, well, don't be subtly nudged this way or that way away from God's desires. It starts out subtly for each of us. It's subtle. And then it goes down. So as you're walking, but then it stands in the way of sinners. Blessed the person who does not stand in the way of sinners. And this is not saying that does not stand up against sin. Blessed is a man who just lets whatever evil and bad thing happen. Does not share. Blessed is a man who does not share the gospel with somebody who is lost. Clearly that would contradict things. But no, stands in the way of sinners. But person whose character and priorities and actions are becoming firmly rooted in the wisdom and counsel of those who are guilty in the Lord's eyes. This is starting to change who I am, more than just kind of subtly doing things. But now, you know what? This is becoming more of how Brian behaves. They are outright sinning and choosing to stand with this. Not just subtly anymore, but outright going against the will and desire of God. And then finally sits in the seat of scoffers. This final step, this final hardness of heart, sitting down, I will not be moved. In the seat of scoffers, some translations say mockers. But they're sitting in, so they're not, went from subtle to standing. This is, I'm sinning, but now I am outwardly mocking the Lord. I'm outwardly mocking the good things, the things that God desires, which is a complete 180-degree turn. Certainly we can assume that that person will not be blessed by God. Unfortunately, this world can subtly do it to each of us. Doesn't require malice or ill will to be led astray. We can feel immediate validation, acceptance from others, perhaps even the majority of this world when we choose to kind of subtly go against the Lord, subtly do this or that thing. But as we'll see, this is not where the blessed life in the long term comes about. So we are blessed by not conforming to the ways of the world, but being transformed by the renewal of your mind. That sounds almost like scripture, doesn't it? That's the Apostle Paul. Romans 12:2, blessed is the man who's not conforming to the ways of this world, but being transformed by the renewal of your mind. So instead of this, the psalmist writes, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight, his joy, his happiness, where he gets this sense of, I'm doing the right thing, this delight. It's in the law of the Lord. It's in the instruction of the Lord, what God has revealed about himself to be true, what God said, hey, you know, do this, not that. A lot of areas are black and white, but a lot of areas are gray. A lot of areas need the discernment of, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do here? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He's thinking about these things, these truths that God has revealed to him just over and over again in his mind. And it's becoming a part of this person. Meditates day and night. That's where these blessings come from. His delight, this blessed person, meditates day and night. And then verse 3. What is he? He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So as we go through challenges and temptations, it's important for us to remember verse 3. The person that we will, this person whose source of joy is that tree planted in the water, gets it from God. Eventually, there's going to be fruit in its season. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. This planted is an intentional act. It's intentional by God, by the farmer, to plant this person here, this tree, this whatever. This tree does not move. We don't move a tree from one year to the next trying to find the best spot. No, this tree is firmly planted. Firmly planted around what streams of water? Not just the one stream, but I imagine in my mind's eye there's streams on both sides, kind of surrounded wherever these roots go. It's not going to be that hard to find water. The soil is going to be nice and saturated. The source of sustenance is there. It's all around it. Readily available for the tree. What the tree truly needs to grow is right there for it. Just like the person whose joy comes from the instruction of the Lord. Hey, everything that you need, we don't need to seek outside in the world and for the validation or whatever. Just seek, Lord, what do you want? What does your instruction say? And as a result, it will yield its fruit in its season. What this tree is designed to do, it will yield in the season that God has designed and desired for it. It would be nice if each season was a fruit-bearing season, would it not? It'd be a lot more encouraging if each season, fall, winter, spring, summer, was a fruit-bearing season. But it's not. The apples, actually I'm not sure what happens here in Florida, but in Massachusetts, the apples come up in the fall every year. The pumpkins come in the fall every year. The strawberries around June time. I'll talk to some of you farmer folks and we can figure out what Florida does. But there's a time for the planting of the seeds. There's a time that they need to grow. It's not orange season all year round. The oranges aren't always there. I think a lot of people lost some lemons and oranges with the hurricane, didn't they? They were there, but they weren't ripe yet. And so they got thrown off those trees just a little bit too soon. But the tree yields its fruit in its season. Not necessarily now or next year or when the tree wants, but the fruit will be produced when the tree reaches a certain maturity, brought about because of the abundance of water, brought about because of the time that God had put in place there for this tree to yield its fruit-bearing time. And a neat thing about grafting, if you graft on this healthy limb or whatever, that tree will produce fruit a little bit earlier. And so while it's not necessarily said here, but I see that as making disciples. So you and I, as we just one-on-one, just individually, we're studying the Lord's Word, we're in the sermons, we're getting great information. But by ourselves, we'll yield fruit as long as we're obedient. But when you graft in that mature Christian into your life and can help you grow, then you mature quicker. All the studies have shown this. You become, you're now able to yield fruit quicker, just like when you put in the lime into the lime tree or the nice pecan limb into the pecan tree. It yields fruit more quicker. But without the roots, it does nothing. And the nice thing, its leaf does not wither. And all that it does, it prospers, which is a nice reminder because, man, there seems to be a lot of prosperity out there aside from the Lord, doesn't there? These politicians or these business owners or these people in school or these coworkers or whatever, man, they seem to be doing so well. And it's so tempting to kind of shortcut and be kind of subtly moved aside, subtly this or that. Or says, no, delight in the law of the Lord, meditate on day and night, and I'll produce, you'll be abundant, you'll bear fruit. Our fruit isn't necessarily a big 401k, a big house, a big prosperous job. The Lord desires us to bear fruit by having spiritual impact on this community, to be making disciples who are making disciples, to see the lost coming to know the Lord. And some of us are going to be more effective in that than others. Some of us are going to be the seed planters of this and that. We're just called to be obedient in there. So as we look, well, what is success and prosperity in God's eyes? What is he trying to accomplish? Well, also for you and me to reflect the character and priorities of Christ in our life. He wants our character to be like his character. My priority is to be his, seeking and saving the lost, which is why I have to be grounded in the Word and him continually meditating on his Word. If I'm meditating on what the world says, even subconsciously, which often happens, well, that's who I start to become like. And unfortunately, God helps us in this by bringing about trials. Hurricanes, other storms in our lives. James, Jesus' brother, half-brother, probably the first book outside of the Gospels written to the believers. And the first thing he says to them is to count it all joy, my brothers or brothers and sisters, when you face trials of various kinds. Hey, you should be joyful because for you know that your testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let the steadfastness have its full effect. They may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. So we know we're supposed to be joyful because about what it's doing, and it's getting this testing of faith, and not our salvific faith to make sure, are you truly saved? You truly believed that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? That's only when we get to heaven. Well, no, but it's trusting your faith, your trust in God. How deeply rooted am I in Him? Because one thing that trials are really good at is getting us closer to God. Or taking people further away from God. There's generally one of two directions, but most people, we need something bigger than ourselves when those big trials come in. I need something bigger than myself. So it brings us back to Him, back to the Lord. Bring about the steadfastness to be able to endure patiently, to make this person reliable and faithful. He's trying to make us reliable and faithful in Him. And our steadfastness is to have its full effect. So we're perfect, complete, not lacking in anything. Our character is not lacking in anything. Our priorities in life aren't lacking in anything. Perfect, this maturity. God is developing you and me. And we're all going through a trial right now. Perhaps we have multiple trials going on with hurricane, insurance, repairs, relationships, our jobs. We're all in trial state right now. But God's doing this for a reason. And I love how Paul adds this in the book of Romans chapter 5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Once again, the rejoicing in these sufferings, these trials. You know, the suffering produces endurance. Same thing as steadfastness. They're on the same page here. Well, it's all coming from God, so of course you're going to be on the same page. And endurance produces character. Endurance in these trials produces this godly character in you and in me. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Godly character in the believer, since we know it's God's purpose and intention to develop our character and our priorities. This character turns into hope. When we experience God's faithfulness, man, we have much more hope. All right, God, you're going to see me through. Man, this next life, when you come back here to earth as our conquering king, man, there's great hope. All this nonsense and garbage, the sin's going to be taken care of. These people are taking advantage of people time after time after time. It'll be triumphant yet sad as they're punished for all eternity. But God gets the final say. We can have that hope. And this hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We're not put us to shame. God does not let us down. So what does this all have to do with the first psalm? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and all he does, he prospers. The trials and sufferings in our life are primarily designed to point you and me back to God for full reliance to God, to full reliance in everything that's going on here. It takes our roots. If we're supposed to be that tree, it takes our roots and makes them go stronger and deeper into that soil to find that water. If we have those streams around us, firmer down, all right, God, I need you. I need you. My strength is in you. I might have a big, you know, healthy-looking tree on the top, but if I got no roots, I'm in big trouble. I'm going to fall over like those big oaks. Or if perhaps I do have those roots down there, but if they're not making this tree strong enough, I'll just snap in the middle like those longleaf pines. Either way, that's good. And God doesn't, he doesn't desire for us to be snapped and broken and made to look a fool. He desires to strengthen us up. So he brings in these trials, which seem like they're more than we can bear, but he knows our roots are stronger as long as they're in him. We draw with more earnestness from those streams of water, holding even with greater reliance upon the soil in which we were planted. We absorb the water, and we grow stronger during those trials. And that's what we're made for. He's retraining us to draw deeper and deeper into him. So I just want to be careful in this life not to get sideways with different things. Once again, with the negative says, the wicked are not so. The wicked doesn't take delight in the instructions of the Lord. The wicked aren't this tree planted by the water. Here's what happens to those who are wicked, the guilty in the Lord's eyes. They're like the chaff in the wind that drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The congregation of the righteous, in the end, they have no place with you and I. Not that we're better than them. We just have the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ placed upon us because of our faith alone. They're not able to stand. They have no place in who we are. So why do we allow their influence to impact us? And I'm not saying that there's not wisdom in the secular world. If all wisdom comes from God, he certainly gave them wisdom. There's a lot of incredibly smart businessmen and women, doctors, lawyers, etc. Good carpenters, good drywall people. It's good to listen to what they say, but don't let them steer you away from what the Lord instructs. Just because they're good at cutting hair doesn't mean they're good at theology. We know that. But the wicked aren't so. They're driven away like chaff in the wind. They're not like the strong tree that withstands in the hurricane. They're blown away. That's what's happened. We, at least in my understanding, how I would operate this world, I would think that you'd have the little wind blow them away right now. Doesn't seem to be happening. Make things easier on us. But if things are easier, then I'm not trusting on God more. Finally, verse 6, for the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. He knows your ways. He knows what you're doing as you pursue him, and as you fall short, become, Lord, I messed up again. I'm about head. Lord, I'm getting kind of tired of acknowledging my sin to you and to others. This is getting old, but I'll keep on doing it. Lord, help me. He knows your ways. He knows your heart. So there's some comfort during all of these. So as we close out today, I encourage us, be firmly rooted in God. What has he called you to be? What has he called you to do during these storms and trials and difficulties? 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul writes, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. So during these difficult times, yeah, there's going to be other stuff that we need to do, we need to take care of, we need to address. When problems arise, we got to address that. But don't let that completely overshadow what the Lord has called you to do as a son and daughter of Christ, as a mother, a father, a grandfather, a teacher, or whatever. We're to be steadfast in him, immovable in what he's called us, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Our labor is not in vain. Making disciples is never in vain. Sharing Christ with the lost is never in vain. We're to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Don't let these trials, these difficulties, this whatever, tear you off in one direction or another, away from what God has called you to. As I mentioned, there's going to be cleanup repairs, engaging in conflict, standing up for what is right in the right way. But don't let that take you away from what you got to do. Don't let that overshadow what God's called you and me to do. So as we close out today, I would like to give us a moment of just some prayer and reflection. Perhaps it's, you know, Lord, give me this heart. Give me the desire to desire you, to desire to, what does it say here, to delight in the law of the Lord. Lord, I read your Bible. I try to be close with you, but it's not a delight. It's an obligation because I'm a Christian. It might feel like that sometimes. Lord, help me to delight in what you reveal about yourself to be truth. Help me to meditate on you day and night. Lord, take my roots deeper. I want to be closer to you. I want to become more like you. Perhaps some of us need just strength. Lord, help me to not lose sight. Help me to abound in the work that you've called me to do. Taking care of other things, yes, but Lord, help me to be abounding, overflowing with what you've called me to do. So let's go ahead and just take a minute of reflective prayer. Then we'll have our closing hymn. And if anybody wants to pray with me now or during that hymn, I'll be up here at the front. Lord, I pray that these storms and trials would not uproot us, uproot what you've called us to be, what you've called us to do. But Lord, may we abound in your work. Lord, I pray that you would place the desire to be closer to you, that we would truly delight in getting to know you better through your word, through prayer. Lord, draw us all closer to you. And Lord, may you produce fruit in us, each of us, in our season. It's in Christ's name we pray.